For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and we're here to talk another financial contract topic, as we do frequently during the offseason. In this case, the stacked tight end contracts, a particularly apt discussion since just today, as we record this on Monday afternoon, Mark Andrews has paid his roster bonus of $4 million, which changes the dynamics of what can be done. Joining me for this discussion in general is Spencer Peterson. Spencer, how you doing?
That's good, Ken.
It is. It's very good. So Andrews, I don't think there's many Ravens fans who really want to see him leave. The people who do, they want to, for practical purposes, that they want to see him, get some cap savings that could be used elsewhere. The Ravens have made some moves in recent days to kind of move some cap around, including a deal with Marlon Humphrey to push some of his money down the road. And appears they're going to try and keep Andrews, especially after they paid this roster bonus, since that reduces the cap savings from either trading him or cutting him to only $7 million. In fact, it really eliminates any possibility the Ravens would just cut him outright.
Yeah. Part of me wonders if a lot of the probability that may have been sitting in the cut bucket actually goes to the trade bucket, because that contract is now much more attractive for a team to absorb.
Yeah, absolutely. It is absolutely. And it's also very unlike the Ravens to sit there and eat $4 million of $11 million in potential cap savings in order to make a trade, but they could do it. I mean, they're essentially purchasing a draft pick or additional draft capital by taking on a cap burden, and that's not generally their way to go about things. And that is, if you're looking for teams that like to do that, it's teams who are towards the bottom of the league. The Cleveland Browns. I think Brock Osweiler was the big deal a few years ago when they essentially got a second round pick to take about $28 million worth of cap hit on Brock Osweiler. But anyway, Andrews appears to be a Raven for 2025. Not 100% chance. Still a chance he gets traded on draft night, you think?
Some chance. I think it's less and less likely. I'm with you that the team has probably decided that Mark Andrews at the $7 million remaining, the $11 million before the roster bonus, and then a comp pick if he were to leave after this season, is probably more worth it than a draft pick this year. But we will see.
All right. Now, set up the problem in general a little bit, because I think people don't necessarily get it. Nobody wants to trade Mark Andrews, but nobody wants to trade Isaiah Likely, and nobody wants to trade Charlie Kolar, or maybe a few people do. But you've got three stacked contracts, all of which expire at the end of the 2025 season. That is not a good formula for getting your guys re-signed. And it's something that Ravens have had to deal with multiple times when they've had very good drafts, and they've had to deal with getting a set of contracts unwound so they don't all come due at the same time. In particular, that 2018 draft, Orlando Brown, of course, traded after 3 years to the Chiefs. Hayden Hurst traded after 2 years to the Falcons. Kenny Young traded during that first year to the Rams to get I think it was during the first year, right? 2018? No, it was 2019. So it was during the second year in order to get Marcus Peters. So could be, you know, I think there's still a possibility of a trade coming. Does it also not only shift probability from Mark Andrews cut to Mark Andrews traded, but also shift to possibly Isaiah Likely being a more likely trade candidate on draft day?
Yeah, I think the problem comes, and you've mentioned this, that I think you've said you're around a second round pick, what you would accept for Likely. I might even be higher than you, but I don't know if you're going to find a buyer at what it would take to move him. But I agree with you that there's some marginal probability higher that Likely is traded now.
Yeah, you've effectively lost the opportunity to, in the most economical way, trade Andrews. And honestly, this is a right player, right price situation where they need to look at both players and see who can they sign for a reasonable dollar amount or that makes sense for that player. And likely he's worth a lot more, but that might be part of the problem is that, and part of the reason why they have to trade him is that they can't really afford another cornerstone contract at tight end. But they could afford a cheaper Andrews deal because Andrews is, what, about 4 years older.
Yeah, and I'm with you, Ken. I like a more flat kind of level of performance. That said, the window, the championship window does seem very open. And I think that does, even at a marginal level, increase the desire to go into the season with the three guys you have now. You've got a shot to win it. If you were a little more divorced from, hey, we have a shot to win now, you might be more inclined to ship one of those guys off in order to get that waterfall of contracts rather than that looming cliff at the end of 2025.
Yeah. That's exactly the way I think of that. You know, one of the things you mentioned is the Ravens have had some difficulty in recent years trying to figure out how to get a fourth tight end onto the roster.
Absolutely. So if you think about your 53 spots, you take three right off the top, your 53 man roster spots for game day or for the regular season, rather. You've got three for special teams. That leaves you with 50 split between special team, or sorry, defense and offense. You're going to go with an even split. That's 25 and 25.
And they almost always do that, by the way. They almost never do a 26-24 split.
Yep. And if you think about what you're allocating to each other position, so right now we have three tight ends, you have three running backs, two quarterbacks, so on and so forth. You get to about 24 spots. And so that 25th spot, you sort of have the decision between a 10th offensive lineman, a fourth tight end, or a 26th defender, maybe a fourth running back, but that's where the choice comes. You really need to think about what position are you not going to carry on the roster of the ones we just mentioned, if you want that fourth tight end. And I think in recent years, you've mentioned that they typically go with the even 25-25 split. I think there have been times where they've got that 26th defender as a, you know, defensive player, also special teamer, when they've had Braid and Kane both on the roster at the same time. But that's something where maybe they only carry one type of that player in order to go with a fourth tight end.
And that may have also been something they only did to rejigger at the on cutdown day to rejigger then until they got the 53 set for the regular season. So the handshake deals have not fallen into place yet at that point. But you may be right. I may have missed a year where they did it. I just know every time I try and set a roster guess, which includes a 26th defender, I know I'm a steep uphill chance of being right about that. It's just not very likely. So we are where we are right now. What handicap this for me a little bit in terms of the probability of having Andrews and Likely on the roster for 26. So we're going to assume they're both here for 25, that neither gets traded. And I would certainly assume the same for Kolar because he actually plays a different role with the Ravens. What's the possibility the Ravens have both of those guys for 26?
Yeah, conditional upon them not moving on from one of them, you know, at the draft prior to the 2025 season, you have four kind of combinations that you could have, which is neither of them, both of them on the roster 2026 and possibly beyond. Just Andrews and just Likely. And I think that roughly corresponds to, in my mind, the ascending order of probabilities. So neither of them on the roster 2026, I think, is about a 5%, maybe 10% probability. If I were to look at, and maybe I'll run through these and then we can go through them kind of in order. Both of them, maybe around 10%. Just Andrews, maybe 20%. And then Likely being the only one of those two remaining 2026 and beyond, I'm thinking about 60%.
All right. Take us through in that order and give me a reasoning for those, because that's interesting to me. I'm not sure I agree, but let's start with neither.
Yeah, neither, I think, you know, would be a purely financial decision. Both of those guys seem to be guys that Lamar is a fan of. You know, I think the proof is on the field with Andrews and then Likely as well, but also some of his comments on social media. They interact a lot. They've been seen, you know, outside the building together. I think he clearly likes both of those guys. If neither of them were to be back, there's either a horrendous injuries have happened or there's some financial reason that happens. But I think it's fairly unlikely, given how important the tight end position has been, that they have neither of those guys around in 2026, even on a one-year deal or franchise tag.
All right. I think I would basically, I put that a little bit higher. And the reason I'd say that is that it is would be a financial reason, but I think that they're doing right player, right price work outside the organization as well. If they drafted a guy this year that you really like as a receiver, they may even clear space for him because you have a lot more sand in the hourglass with that new player to try and get value out of them. I just think there's too many ways things could change over the course of a year. And this decision will, you know, it'll be made essentially late in this regular season, probably, or early in the off season next year, certainly before the start of the league year in March, whether or not they're going to have, you know, zero or one in those two spots for all that. By the way, love the way you lay it out as like, as a truth table. It makes a lot of sense when I think people do that and they look at each possible chance.
Yeah. And I may not be sufficiently discounting for the uncertainty that you mentioned. You know, if both players fall off the table, that changes things dramatically, mm-hmm. but based on, you know, I'm thinking about this in terms of based on what we know now about their performance, it could be that, you know, likely doesn't merit re-signing, but we'll see on that one.
Okay. All right. I think it's pretty likely that one of them will merit re-signing. I think part of the reason is that Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry still provide the Ravens with outstanding support system for the tight end in terms of how they can make hay. So we'll see. Last 2 years, throwing to the tight end has been 143.5 passer rating with 30 touchdowns and one interception. It's hard to imagine a better situation. And in fact, the situation with Andrews had gotten pretty bad a few years ago when he was kind of getting a lot of forced targets. But I don't think that's the case anymore. And I think the team probably has some negotiating advantage from both those guys being lower target players. In fact, total targets to tight end are not through the roof for the Ravens. 138, I believe, this last year.
Yeah.
All right.
Possible.
Okay, let's move up to the next one, which is just Andrews at 20%.
Yeah. Well, actually, I think maybe back up for a second. I don't think we talked about both.
Okay, both. Sure.
There is the possibility that they're both back on the roster, which I think is pretty slim as well. I have it at about 10 to 15%. But that could take the form of Andrews being extended and likely franchised. It could be likely with a long-term deal and Andrews back for maybe 1 year or more. It's something that they could feasibly do. I don't think it's super likely, but as long as they have decently cost-controlled at the wide receiver position, they use 12 and sometimes 13 more than many teams in the league. Mm-hmm. When you look at how much T. Higgins just got paid as a wide receiver too, perhaps they make the call that it actually makes sense to invest those resources at the tight end position. And go a little heavier there.
Yeah, I'd buy it. And first of all, I think the chances will be increased if one of them has a good season and is all potentially already signed this offseason anyway. So this is the perfect time to sign Isaiah Likely for a lot of reasons. He's coming off his third year. If he and his agent are amenable to making a lower risk signing with the Ravens, and I think it has a better chance to happen. It probably has less of a chance to happen because Isaiah Likely has been very good. But more than Linderbaum, probably more than Travis Jones, I think Likely is more likely to be signed. And he'd be less likely than other third-year guys like Ardarius Washington and Daniel Fa'alele. I think those they're really in the sweet spot of guys who want to reduce risk, earn a big payday that they can lock in. So if one of them was signed in advance, then what it would take is for the other to fall into a disadvantaged situation. So they'd be coming off an injury or coming off a down year, maybe in the case of Andrews, if that were to happen in 25, then I think he could be re-signed on a one-year deal. Same could happen for Likely too, that he doesn't like the market and signs a one-year deal to prove it again if he has a real down year for some reason this year. I do think it's possible. And again, this is a case of a lot of things can change, but I think it's possible that they could get both of them back.
Definitely. And we'll maybe talk about this more when we talk about Likely, but I agree with you that he might be the easiest to sign or the one that you could sign for a risk mitigating divisible benefit contract.
Mm-hmm.
That said, I would almost rather get either Travis Jones or even an Adafe Owe done sooner.
Yeah.
Just because of the implications that comes with your long-term cap with getting those guys signed.
Absolutely. I mean, and those are, you're talking tough nuts there. The Linderbaum, they're not going to give him the fifth year option. So they really need to get it done this off season right now. In terms of Owe, he's already costing you a bunch of money in fifth year option value. So you have some 25 savings on the cap you can harvest. And then you're making an investment in a pass rusher, which is a very thin position right now for the Ravens. So they need to be careful about over dependence on what they have done very well in the past, which is to go out and find these veteran pass rushers. I think that works well as kind of a supplement. You know, it's kind of some spice in the pudding and whatever, but you don't want it to be the whole pudding.
Exactly. And then the one thing I'd say, obviously the team can do and the front office can do more than one thing at once. Mm-hmm. That said, if I were able to get one deal done this offseason, I would love for them to focus on Travis Jones, mm-hmm. just because that deal is such a tough one to get done. And what I mean by that is he's sort of in that second tranche of D tackles, where it's a lot harder to get that guy done than it is the top of the market guy. If Isaiah Likely continues on the trajectory we think he's on, you know, a top five player at a position, that deal's pretty easy to get done. It's sort of last guy plus a dollar. It's saying, hey, you're not in one of the top contracts. We're not going to give you a top of the market deal. You know, top DNs or D tackles rather are getting paid $20 million plus a year. We think you're at 14 or 16. That's the one that takes a lot of back and forth.
Right. It does. And it's definitely a better time to do it when you have divisible benefit there after the third year instead of after the fourth year. The leverage for the team reduces, you know, by the game played. As soon as he gets back on the field and is taking additional injury risk that was part of what he'd be selling to the Ravens if they were, to make a deal right now. Okay. So, but you have it as 20% likely that Andrew,
if you're looking for a better way to unwind, focus, or even get a good night's sleep, listen up. Let me tell you about Mood, the online cannabis company that's changing the game when it comes to functional gummies. They've crafted a whole line up of federally legal THC blends designed to help with everything from stress to sleep to mental clarity and even some spicier needs if you're into that. Now, what makes Mood different? They go beyond just THC. They pair it with herbs and adaptogens to create targeted effects that you won't find in any other dispensary. And every gummy is made with pesticide-free, small-farm American cannabis. So you're getting quality that you can trust. I've tried their sleep gummies. And let me tell you, takes about 15 minutes, and I'm out cold, no grogginess, no weird side effects, getting some of the best sleep I've gotten in my life when I take one of these gummies. And if you need a mood boost, there are Epic Euphoria gummies, game changers. And right now, Mood is giving listeners 20% off their first order by using the promo code RAVENS at checkout. So head on over to mood.com, find the perfect gummy for whatever life throws your way, and don't forget to use the promo code RAVENS to save 20%.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Tired of trying diet after diet without results? Mochi Health offers a long-term weight loss solution personalized to your needs. Our board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians provide expert guidance to help you succeed. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medication at an affordable set price delivered monthly. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 for $40 off your first month. That's joinmochi.com.
This is the one guy who returns, and 60% likely is the one guy returns. Sell that division to me.
Ultimately, I think if I were to put it in one bullet point, it's that Likely is younger, has a better runway, you know, less likelihood that you are paying for the decline years of that contract. If you're going to give a big top of the market tight end contract, I would rather invest in the guy in his low to mid 20s than the guy who's approaching 30 rapidly.
I'm totally with you in terms of the logic of why Likely is the guy to sign, but that's the reason why Likely is worth a second round draft pick and Andrews is worth a fourth or fifth round draft pick. So the market has baked in all of that. It's like saying, oh, look at that stock. I can buy that now. And it's only $25. Well, the market already understands all of that. And you know, they have all the information you do and they've decided, you know, what it's going to be. That's the problem I have with it is that, maybe it's not a Ravens move to move forward with an older player like this, but they certainly do have a pretty darn good record of keeping their stars, particularly their defensive stars, late into their careers. I would not be shocked if they did the same thing with Andrews. Now, they let Jamal Lewis go at what was a pretty opportune time, I think. I'm trying to think of what other offensive players they've even had who they could have let go. I mean, they basically Joe Flacco they kept for basically the extension that he got. Ray Rice they let go for other reasons. I'm trying to think of another offensive. Jonathan Ogden, okay, they kept him for a lot of years. You could go with some other linemen like Mike Flynn was around the organization for a long time, but. They have an incredible record of keeping their defensive stars with Suggs and Reed and Lewis headlining that group. I'm not sure that Andrews isn't in that group too. And it's just a matter of cost. It really would just come down to likely at $20 million a year, Andrews at $13 million a year would be kind of what you'd be, you know, gambling on. And neither player has any significant injury history, honestly.
Yeah, I think the only other point I would make on that is that when you think about, you ultimately only have 11 guys that you can get on the field, five eligible receivers.
Yep.
The ability to concentrate what I think is, I love Mark Andrews, but what I think is longer term, higher upside or, you know, play potential, even with the cost, in one of those five eligible receivers with likely outweighs what you could get from Mark Andrews and the extra dollars. You know, there's not necessarily... the ability to reallocate some of that play or that benefit is tough. I think being able to concentrate what I think is a higher upside in one of those, you know, five eligible receivers makes likely the decision moving forward personally.
Okay. And I'm with you. I think he's the better player. There's no doubt about that. I think what you're also making the case for is maybe that it's one, but not both. And you've already said that because you've said 80 and 10 are the two probabilities of, you know, summing up your 20 and 60, you get 80 and you said 10% that they keep them both. I think that's where there's some marginal gain for the Ravens is to make sure that they don't stay with two and then have a drafted guy who's not, you're not losing as much in terms of production by the natural rotation you have to have at the position when you have both of them.
Yeah, well said. And I think the only other thing I would add to that is also when you think about how you allocate the probabilities, the 80 versus the 10 for one of them versus none of them, or both, is that if you were to use the frictions that are available to you in the market to keep someone, mm-hmm. it makes more sense to apply something like the franchise tag to Isaiah Likely, personally, moving forward. Yes. Since it's going to be more in line with the potential deal he would get.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So they do still have that as a trick in the bag. They don't have a fifth year option because he wasn't a first round pick, but they do have a franchise tag, and tight end franchise tags are pretty cheap. So in a relative sense, and you know what, that should help make the deal now on a long term deal. That should be one of the things that really pushes for an early extension. So
yeah, and getting back to, and I don't want to derail us and talk about Travis Jones or Adafi Owe, but when you think about the potential next offseason to apply a franchise tag to someone, Isaiah Likely or a tight end by far makes more sense than any of those guys. I think it's about $10 million less the franchise tag for tight end than it is D tackle or D end.
Right. And the other position, it's not a franchise position. It's a fifth year option for next year on Hamilton, but he could become a franchise tag guy in the future too, if they can't agree to a deal. I certainly hope they get that worked out. But anyway,
like you said, that should favor making a deal this offseason with him potentially, that they would have no problem. Kind of their best alternative to a negotiated agreement would be to, you know, run with the fifth year option, then franchise him and maybe franchise him again, because it might still be worth it at that 120% rate. Right. For him, it would make sense to get that long-term deal and a big chunk of guaranteed money now.
I'm with you on that. All right. Well, we've kind of danced around the issue a little bit and trying to, you know, compare apples to oranges in terms of their relative value. But where are you? And I guess maybe it's a little bit difficult given the dearth of truly high end tight end talent signed this offseason to figure out what price these guys might command in the market. Where are you on that?
Yeah, so like you mentioned, the guys signed this offseason are sort of that second tier or kind of middle class of tight end free agents. You know, Evan Engram, Juwan Johnson, Mike Gesicki, kind of in the 11 million AAV down to about 8.5 million AAV. Not sure those are great comparables, especially for the top end of the market. Currently, the top tight end AAV was Travis Kelce, who was signed to a two-year deal last year at 17.1. If you were going with the, you know, last guy signed plus one, that's sort of your starting point. But I'm not sure if, you know, the starting point, if I'm the Ravens with negotiations of an Isaiah Likely or Mark Andrews at this point, is absolute top of the market. But that might be where it goes or what they're asking for.
Right. All right. Wait, do you have a contract you would offer to Likely right now, since he seems to be your guy? A contract you'd offer to him right now that would make sense?
I think something like the George Kittle deal, that was a 5-year, $75 million deal for $15 million, kind of starting next year. So keep his remaining rookie deal year and that tack on that 5 years would make a lot of sense and would move him into the top five AAV at the position.
And he'd get a big chunk of bonus money this year, a big signing bonus, and that obviously is what players look for. That sounds really good to me. I would do it in a heartbeat. And if the number was 5 for 80, I don't think I'm saying no on that either. I think I'd go another million on that. But you're right; it's not necessarily the starting point on what they do. And by the way, we may be 10 million short over 5 years, or more likely something like 19 million a year for 4 years is probably what Likely's agent is trying to get right now, given, you know, especially deferring for a year and you know, getting some signing bonus now, but having that contract extend to a time where the cap might grow some and it would be a very manageable portion of the total cap.
Yeah. That said, I think Kittle's deal, which was again 5 for 75, and he signed that back, it started back in 2020.
Okay.
Unless someone fell off the table that was bigger in total, I think is the largest tight end contract in dollars ever. So 80 for five, given that we're talking about a divisible benefit or sign a year early situation. Yeah, he might ask for more than that, but I think it would be hard for him to turn down a record-breaking tight end contract in that way a year early.
Yeah, good point. Good point. And that is the way it's usually done, is like last or highest plus a dollar is what players really want. But in the case of Kittle's contract, I mean, he's a great player. He's a Hall of Famer and Likely has not yet earned that distinction. But that is a long time ago to be a comparable contract at all. So it's one of those ones that, you know, I have to believe that they're probably his agent is probably going to say, wait a minute, no, we want to see where this market settles out with a new wave of contracts that's going to be due on a lot of tight ends.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's just given his draft pedigree, which, you know, is a long time ago, but he didn't come in as, you know, a first round tight end and hasn't been the sole pass catcher. I'm not sure Isaiah Likely is that guy who resets the percentage of cap deal for the top contracts. I think he's more of a last guy plus one than a, hey, reset this to 8% of cap or whatever would be the relevant benchmark.
Well, was Kittle 8% of cap at 15 million then? Is that about right?
Yeah. At time of signing, he was 7.6.
7.6. And so we'd be talking about Likely being about 6% if he gets a $15 million deal on 250.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty good. If you're a Ravens fan, I think you're probably signing up for that. Hopefully they can get that done. How does Charlie Kolar fit into all this?
So purposely kept him separate just because we end up with too many permutations or combinations if we talk about all of them together. But I think Ravens Twitter would get incredibly upset. I almost think it makes more sense for Charlie Kolar to be the first of these guys signed, if you could. And if you were going with only one of two of Andrews and Likely, you could also re-sign Charlie Kolar at something that's a little more affordable, almost akin to the, I'm blanking on his name right now, the tight end that we signed before Andrews and Hurst. Nick Boyle.
Okay. Yeah.
Where they had the press conference and I believe a lot of Ravens fans were underwhelmed.
So upset by that. Oh my God. I mean, it was a really good signing. Boyle was a great player for them in 2019 too. It just, that's foolish. All right. So I could understand that. Now, the other name that we talked about in the production meeting was Josh Oliver, in terms of being a guy who has some receiving talent. And Kolar has not really been tested at the NFL level, but the few targets he's got, he's done well on. We do have, looking back at the Josh Oliver contract, it was 3 for 21 or something, which seemed really outrageous given what his responsibilities were. But would it really surprise you if Kolar got an offer like that at this point?
So as we were talking in the production meeting, I think my mind is, you know, with something like 12 for 3 work for Charlie Kolar added onto his current deal. But when I think about the Josh Oliver deal, that just might not be realistic. And that might, right. Oliver's deal might be more representative of what he can actually get on the market.
Okay. Well, I mean, if that's the case, I think the Ravens are probably going to have to let him walk, because that'd be just too much in terms of resources tied up at tight end relative to some other spots. Ravens also had a very good history of developing tight ends in the mid and later rounds. So you can go with likely on that. And you can go with the fact that their second tight end drafted every time they draft two seems to do better than their first. So I think they'll take their chances. How about the probability they draft a tight end this year?
Well, they have 11 picks, mm-hmm. and not a ton of, I mean, there are needs in places where they have depth requirements, but I don't know that there's a ton of spots that are necessarily locked in. I think chances are fairly decent, maybe not over 51%, but I would say maybe 40%, 35% that they draft a tight end this year.
Okay, I do think it's higher than that, because I think they'll do it in a later round, even if they haven't yet. But maybe, I guess it's possible not. One guy who's still going to be at camp and was kind of a badass at times in camp this year was Kadir Ishmael. And he's a guy that I would love to see get a chance. Well, I'd love to see it in the sense that it'd be great to have him on the team, because I think he's a big guy who makes a lot of sense for the position. But I don't want him to get a chance in the sense that somebody probably has to get hurt for him to get on the field. But they had Travis Vokolek the year before. He got poached off the practice squad. I have this feeling that it would have happened to Ishmael too if he hadn't have gotten hurt. So if the Ravens are going to draft a guy, they have to kind of be sure that they're going to use the roster spot there. And that gets back to what you mentioned earlier about, you know, how are they going to use that last marginal spot, whether it's, you know, spot 24 or spot 25 on the offensive 53.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe Ishmael is something where if they really like what they see in him, that gives them the ability to be a little more hard line in the contract negotiations mm-hmm. with the other guys. Because, again, it raises the floor of what their alternative to getting something done with them is.
Yeah, that there are a few little leverage advantages for the Ravens in this deal, including the frictions of the options that they have, and also looking at other players and how they develop tight ends. But anyway, great discussion. I appreciate you coming on the show and actually proposing this topic. This is, by the way, if you want to do a film study short, this is exactly the way to do it. Just come on like Spencer did. He gave me 6 or 7 things he wanted to hit on this. That's more than I ask people to do. If you have 3 bullets, that's usually enough. But Spencer, tell folks where they can talk football with you online.
You can find me on X at SpencerCP. That's SpencerCP. And that's where I talk Ravens with people.
All right. Other folks out there, hit me up if you have a short you'd like to do. Still time to do it. We are coming up on a ton of draft material that's coming up in the course of the next month, but there'll still be time to fit one in here and there. And then there'll be a lot of time after the draft has kind of been decided. Starting about a week after the draft, I'll be looking for content, historical shows, and that's probably when I'll finally get started on a very big new series that I'm coming up with is reviewing the 2000 Ravens defense game by game. So it uses the 2024 and 25 techniques for looking at the game, looking at some of the things like opportunity set and addressing that for the 2000 Ravens, which I think is going to be a lot of fun. We're trying to set it up so that we'll have some individual players from that era who will join us at least on some of the shows. And if I could pull all that together, it should be a really fun show both to do and hopefully to listen to as well. Spencer, thanks again for joining me.
Thank you, Ken.
We'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.